Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. I will spare you any prolonged introduction. My name is Kyle Borg, and I am recording in Winchester, Kansas. Today, I am joined by my co-host, Barry York, out there in Beaver, Pennsylvania. Barry, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. It's finals week at RPTS, so the students are working on their finals and papers. I'm getting a little bit more time working from home, so I'm glad for that, although I was down there today.
Well, we're glad you're putting some time in since we do pay your salary as a denomination. It's good to know. I think, you know, if I could stand up and make a motion at Synod, it would probably be that you need to turn time cards in every year just so that we can clock your hours and make sure we're getting our bang for our buck. But, you know, before we actually jump into our theme today, so your name was spoken in my home today. And I have to confess, I didn't quite know what to do. My oldest daughter, Evelyn, is going to be a senior next year. And she was filling out an application for Theological Foundations for Youth. And I had just gotten done running, and she said to me, "Dad, you know Barry York, right?" And I said, "Oh, I know Barry York." And
until she listens to the podcast.
Seriously. Nobody in my household listens to my podcasts. But she then, the best part is, she said, as pastor kids sometimes do, "Would you call him a friend?" And so I thought to myself, I shouldn't confuse my 17-year-old daughter, but I decided to. And I said, no. Barry is one of the bad ones. I don't think I would count him as a friend, which then got her very inquisitive. And I had to confess to her, no, Barry is a very, very good friend of mine who I get the opportunity to talk to on a weekly basis.
Well, I'm glad you clarified.
I am too. So anyway, you had written an essay on how to write a testimony that young people, as they get ready with their application for TFY, are actually sent this article as a help to writing their testimony. So she read that today. So thanks, Barry, for your good work.
Did she ask you some questions?
She
did. About her own testimony?
She had me read over everything that she wrote and said, you know, does this sound good? And is it honest? And it you know, it's humbling. It's wonderful to watch our kids grow up. And I actually really appreciated sitting down and reading those things. So
yes. In that article, I encourage covenant kids who may not have, you know, the dramatic testimony of being out in the world to think about generationally how the Lord's been working and to talk to their parents and interact with them about things they see in their lives. So that's good she did that.
Yeah, nice. She's a compliant one. Can't say that about all my children, but she's the oldest daughter and she's good so far. So, well, Barry, it's good to have you on today. And as our listeners might have picked up, Scott Nowosaki. Scott is not joining us today. He had some other pressing business. You know, he's under full pressure of campaign season, plus his regular work of being the Batman of Grant County. So he's not with us. So it's just Barry and I, and we trust our listeners will tolerate something of our conversation today.
We may get more laments sent to us.
Understandably so. Well, good. Well, let's jump in. The theme that I want to talk about a little bit today is ministry to and maybe with and alongside of our aging saints in the church. Our aging saints, and just to be nice, you know, we'll define that fairly broadly. I don't know if that's actually nice or not, but, you know, from maybe when the season begins in being an empty nester into old age and into the elderly years. And I want to just think
about...
Oh, you
mean like me?
I wasn't going to name names or point fingers, but it's actually very appropriate that you're here today so that we can get firsthand.
Trying to figure out how to minister to old guys like me. That's great.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. So, but I do want to discuss that season of life and, it's a season of life that is actually extremely important and is attended by many things. And I think it's useful and practical for us to think about that. Maybe to start us off, there's a wonderful sermon by an old Puritan named William Bridge. It's found in his collected works, and I think Soli Deo Gloria at one time published it as a little standalone pamphlet. But it is titled A Word to the Aged. And William Bridge begins that sermon by saying, "There is no state or condition of men, but some grace, goodness, or virtue may and can plant upon, as there is no condition, but some sin will also grow upon." And he goes on to say that it is our wisdom to observe what is the state of our soil. And what he means by that is, what is the season in which the soil of our life is currently in, and to plant our ground accordingly, according to every season that the Lord gives us. And so kind of using that, I just want to think together about that season of life. Barry, maybe tapping into some of your personal experiences, but you know, as I know, as a pastor, you know, one of the great privileges is to shepherd people through that season of life, because like I said, it's a pivotal one, and it can be a very discouraging for some, very depressing time. For others, it's such a joy to see it's such a flourishing season in which they finish and continue in their race very well. So that's where I want to go today. And I just want to start, by asking, you know, what are some examples that we have in Scripture of godly older people? I was struck today as I was thinking about this theme, the number of aged saints that are actually mentioned and put forth as examples to us. So when I ask that question, what are some thoughts that come to your mind, Barry?
Well, just the immediate names that pop to my mind are Moses and Caleb and Simeon. Those are the ones that just come to immediately to my mind, just thinking about Moses living to be 120 years old. And, you know, it was really the last third of his life that his whole life's recorded in Scripture, but it's really that last third of his life, those last 40 years out in the wilderness with God's people, that we pay so much attention to. And of course you have Caleb as an older man showing faith and helping go into the promised land, and then Simeon waiting for the appearance of the Messiah, which he was able to see at the temple, and then almost expressed that his life mission had been complete, that he could depart in peace because he had seen the one the prophets had promised. And you see in these men something I think that characterizes each of them as faith. They're all got their eyes on the Lord. You see them providing still, to varying degrees, leadership and witness in the life of God's people. So those are some of the immediate things that pop to my mind. How about you? Probably you had those, or maybe some others in mind.
You mostly took my list. You already mentioned him, but I'm going to zero in on him just a little more. You know, when I think about this, Caleb is always the first one to spring to my mind, because you know, I remember in high school just reading that portion where, after all the wilderness wanderings, Caleb finally gets to do what he always knew the people of God could do, and that was to go take the promised land. Mm-hmm. And I forget his exact age, but he's in his 80s, and he takes his hill. And I just remember as a very young man, like I said, in high school, reading that and reading about, you know, I just pictured this elderly man, but being renewed with the youth, with the vigor of a youth, and saying, you know, this is my inheritance. This was promised to me, and now I'm going to go get it. And yeah. That's always just stuck with me. Like, may God give us many Calebs in the church, men who persevere. You know, you mentioned Moses, Simeon. I thought of them as well. Abraham and Sarah, thought about, you know, and not only were they old when the promises came to them, but, you know, I've often thought a lot about Abraham and what Paul says in Romans chapter 4, that even as he grew old and weak, you know, he was strengthened as he gave glory to God. And of course, you know, you mentioned Simeon. I would mention Anna as well. And Anna was the older woman. And so, you know, I think just the encouraging thing is, as you said, you know, the Bible gives us these examples. And sometimes, you know, we're in a culture and a society, and it's probably true that evangelicalism has kind of wrongly so centered the church oftentimes on youth, right? Oh, you got to get the youth if you want to survive. And I, you know, I also love our young people, but I think sometimes maybe to the neglect of the real value and the real example and the real contribution that some older saints can make. And as you think about these examples, these are not minor examples in the Bible. These are very significant men and women mm-hmm. who even in old age were doing so much for the Lord. And I think that in and of itself is a big encouragement.
Yes. Yes.
So what, you know, maybe moving then more particularly, you know, again, that season of life it's attended with some difficulties and some challenges. And I want in a few minutes, we'll talk about those. But maybe to think about it in these terms, first and foremost, you know, what are some of the promises that are made in Scripture, particularly to older people? You know, each season of life seems to have particular blessings and promises attached with it. Biblically, what do we see as some of those blessings and promises for our aging saints?
Well, one of the scriptures that comes to mind immediately is the psalm that talks about when old, they'll still bear fruit and flourish fresh and green. They are, of course, speaking about those planted in the Lord's courts. And so there is this promise that just because we get older, that doesn't mean that we decrease in value. We're encouraged in Scripture to seek out the wisdom of the older generation. So one of the blessings of being older is often you have lessons and knowledge that you can pass down to younger people, which is a real blessing for the sake of the church. You know, the glory of a young man is his strength. The glory of an old man is his gray hair. So having that wisdom embodied in the church is so important. Often those who are older have, you know, had careers and been able to get to a place in life where they can also help others. So you think about the generational blessings that we hear in Scripture, particularly pertaining to the family, seeing your children's children, leaving your children an inheritance. So there are many things about being older. Though, again, it does come with its challenges, as I'm not sure who said it first, but I did hear our old counseling professor, George Scipione, toward the end of his life saying, you know, getting old is not for sissies. It's not an easy thing to get old. And Miriam and I have been thinking about that in more recent years. We've had more visits to the hospital and doctors probably this last couple of years than we've had over the last 10. So there are things that you have to deal with and manage when you get older that can be challenging, but there are still blessings associated with it.
Yeah, I like those. You know, Psalm 92, the one you already mentioned, I've just, you know, I've thought about that so often with some of our age saints here in Winchester. You know, what a wonderful promise. You know, those who have been planted in the courts of the Lord flourish and stay fresh and green, even in their old age. You know, I remember reflecting on that once and just thinking, you know, that's how profound the means of grace are, and to be rooted and planted in those things, and to be able to look back at a long life and say, you know, this is where I've grown up. And one of the unique things in Winchester that I sometimes like telling people, you know, as a rural congregation, we're not a transient congregation by any means. We don't, my twin brother is a pastor in a more transient area, and we've been pastors about the same amount of time, and his church has probably seen 3 turnovers since he began mm-hmm. pastoring there. Winchester's not like that, and we have some aging and aged saints here who have been here for 80 years. Yeah. And you sit there and you think about that, and you know, they are planted in the Lord's courts, and there's a wonderful blessing to that. I think too, with you know, wisdom. Now the Bible doesn't teach us that wisdom automatically comes with old age, but that's we sure hope that the grace of God is coextensive with old age, and that wisdom does indeed come, because, you know, like you said, there's that proverb, the glory of a young man is his strength, but gray hair is for an older man. You know, I think that's probably one of the greatest blessings and promises is wisdom. And that, you know, I've been preaching through Ecclesiastes, and so obviously it's wisdom literature. And so I've been really thinking about wisdom a lot lately. And, you know, what a blessing and what a promise wisdom is to people. It's by no means the least of Christian virtues. It's probably one of the highest of Christian virtues, is to be a wise person. And hopefully our aging saints are that. They've been rooted and established, and they are growing in wisdom. So I think that's useful to point out, that, you know, it can be a difficult season, but it is one that is attended with a lot of grace and a lot of promises and blessings. So
mm-hmm. You probably haven't gotten to the end of Ecclesiastes yet, if you're still preaching in it. Chapter 12, where it has that metaphorical description of a old man, you know, when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and grinders cease because they are few, you know, talking about your teeth, the looking through the windows are dimmed, and you know, the grasshopper drags itself along, desire fails because man's going to his eternal home. So like we say, there are challenges to it, but there can be great blessing as well.
Yeah, it. I mean, right. It's there where the preacher even says the old days are evil days, in many ways, attended by a lot of misery. So here then is a really pastoral question that I think we'll land on for a little more length of a time. You know, there are particular promises, there are blessings to old age, but you know, Barry, for you yourself, whether it's by personal experience or your years as a pastor, you know, what do you think are some of the unique opportunities that our aging saints, you know, whether it's empty nesters again until the elderly years, what are some unique opportunities that demographic really has in ministering in the life and the fellowship of the church? What do you think are just some of the best opportunities? You know, what would you say to people in that stage of life? You know, I really want you to think about these years and the opportunities that afford themselves. What do you think about that?
Well, one of the things about being an empty nester is that you do have more time. I mean, it's amazing. I look at my children with our grandchildren now. I go into their houses or they come over, or we watch the grandchildren for a few hours. And, you know, after they leave, we're exhausted. Like it is so, it takes so much energy to take care of kids. And we think, how did we do that back then? But now that we have not so much activity under roof, it gives you more time to serve. And that's one of the things I've really appreciated about some of the older saints that I've known, when they have that time to go over and give to the church. We have a dear man named Ron in our congregation who's retired. He was a deacon in the former Baptist church who gave us their building. He's become a member of our congregation now. And when it came to becoming, you know, we were going to elect deacons, he declined to do that, even though he's at the church every day working on the building. And if there's some need he hears about in the church, he's there, Johnny on the spot, if he can help somebody in their home. And it's just so wonderful. He's just there for his people. And I think there's just so many opportunities for those who are older to give more time to, you know, we see in Titus, the older women are to be helping the younger women. So for older ladies to be thinking about coming alongside some of the younger families in the church and becoming, that's the beautiful thing about the body of Christ, is it's to be a family. So you don't have to be physically related to someone to be like a grandmother or be like a grandfather. I think of the candy man at our church, Paul, who, you know, again, one of the older saints in our congregation. And after church, the kids go running to him because I know he's going to give him a piece of candy and he just loves it. But he's also developed the friendship with the kids, and he can ask him about how something that they were doing that week went on. So we were talking about Stranraer a few episodes ago, and about the need of this congregation in Scotland, needing people to come over to strengthen their hand. And we heard of some people who are retired or empty nesters, have more time to go there and do all manner of acts of service. So that's one of the things that immediately comes to my mind as we think about this.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, Titus 2, like you already mentioned, would be like probably first on my list. And you think about that role that Paul assigns there for the older women. especially being involved in the lives of younger women and just teaching them, you know, here's how you love your husband and your children. Here's how you care for your house and extending a helping hand. I think with that, you know, I have just found, or at least I have heard in different capacities, you know, sometimes older women are very willing to do that. And younger women seem at times to be a little more hesitant, and maybe just an encouragement to some of our younger audiences is, you know, for this relationship to work the way Paul envisions it in Titus 2, it is reciprocal. And in the church, one of the things that we have to be sensitive to is giving people the opportunities to be able to serve in the way that the Lord wants them to serve in that season of life. And so, you know, I think one of the things that I see is, you know, there are plenty of older saints who would be willing and eager. Maybe sometimes a little hesitant, you know, don't want to be intrusive in people's lives. And I think that's a place where younger people can open the door and say, you know, we value this and we want this. Like, we want to see you fruitful in Jesus the way that Jesus wants you to be fruitful. And to be honest, that's going to require something from younger people to then invite those people into their lives and be intentional about that. You know, and it's not just the older woman, younger woman relationship there. I think about what Paul begins Titus 2 with about older men and older men, you know, being sober minded and strong in the faith and sincere in love and all of these things. I've always laughed through the years because it's just so true to experience, you know. When Paul addresses all these different age groups, he has many different things to say to old men, old women, younger women. And then when he gets to younger men, it's like, you guys, you just need to be self-controlled. Like, we're not going to put too much on your plate because we know you're young men. You need to be self-controlled.
You win that, you've won a great battle.
Exactly. But you know, and I've thought about that. And I've thought about that in relation then to what Paul says about the older men are really... they should be looked at in the church to bring a measure of stability. You know, they've come to that point in life, hopefully, where by the grace of the Spirit, they are self-controlled and now they can flourish in these very stable graces of being sober-minded and sound in the faith and all of these things. And I think the church desperately needs men like that. You know, I love, and I know you love the young, youthful zeal of men and young men who are overly excited and sometimes a little overly obnoxious. And you know, the Lord knows that they need older men in their lives to help temper them and bring that self-control. And so I think of Titus 2. You know, I've thought in relation to this question, a very unique opportunity to those who are aged. You know, and as a pastor, you know, this is something that you often experience in shepherding visits, but there's so many commands in the Bible to remember. Remember the days of old, remember how the Lord has worked in times past to give confidence and assurance and expectations for the present. And you know, there's that place in Deuteronomy 32:7, where God says, remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations, ask your father, and he will show you, your elders, and they will tell you. And I've just thought, you know, what an opportunity for our aging saints to be able to be that voice, to say to people with that steadfast confidence, you know, here's how the Lord has worked in generations past. I know as a young pastor, I've needed that, and I've benefited from that from my elders. You know, sometimes you start to lose your head and you're like, oh no, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And my elders, the older ones, just have this calmness about them of, Kyle, we've been elders for 40 years and we've seen the Lord provide every time. And, you know, let us tell you what the Lord has done. And that is a profound ministry, I think, that our older members can have in the church, is simply to remind people of those things, to remind them of generations past. And I've typically find older people generally love talking about days gone by. So that's usually a pretty big open door. What are some other, you mentioned time, anything else on unique opportunities for those who are aged and aging?
Well, I think there's lots of them. I think they have homes that they can open up. Hospitality can be a very important thing, you know, again, depending on their strength at this time of their life and abilities. Often those who have been faithful over a lifetime have resources. So they have finances that can be used of the Lord. in the life of the church or in different ministries that they can share with others. I think that they, as you're alluding to, again, just have learned lessons. So having them, whether it's formally or informally, teaching and sharing about their lives. A lot of people who've lived a long time have gone through incredible trials and or even national emergencies that a lot of young people haven't gone through. We were in a group last week and or two, and someone brought up Y2K, and there's a 20-something-year-old man sitting there. He says, "What's Y2K?" Like he had never even heard of it. That was kind of fun, just to
the scariest moment of every millennial's life.
Yeah. All right. Turned out to be a big nothing. But it's still, there's other things though, like world wars or Vietnam War, people in war situations or national, you know, 9/11, just things of that nature when emergencies arise. And it can be national, it could be ecclesiastical. Like you were saying, there are times where it can seem like the sky is falling in the church, where a conflict has arisen, and we think, well, this is the end. We're not going to get through this. And yet God is faithful. He takes us through these valleys, and it's often those who have walked through them before us that can help us to have the wisdom that we need in order to address it. I think of this a lot at Synod, especially as I think back historically, as I've sat and watched at Synod, it's usually the men of years of experience who don't bop up at the mic every time it's open, but men of experience who get up there and tend to get us out of a morass, tend to bring the wisdom that we need at the moment. And so I think there's a lot that the older folk can be offering to the church.
Yeah, that's true, right? And especially as you think about older men and serving in the eldership and continuing in churchmanship, right? We love young, zealous. I still regard myself as young, but we do need those fathers, grandfathers in the faith that can do that. You know, as you were talking, I thought of 1 Timothy 5, where Paul has a very particular place for widows over the age of 60. And the picture that he paints there, you know, is one who is faithful. The family has been raised, you know, her husband has died, but she's obviously an empty nester. And Paul talks about, you know, enlisting widows on the roll. And I will confess my own ignorance. Paul really values that, and I want to really value that. You know, it's a remarkable thing that Paul is actually saying, you know, widows have a massively significant place in the Church of Jesus Christ and need to be recognized doing that. And I think, you know, to be honest, you know, what does that look like? I'm not totally sure, but I've often returned to those words and just thought, you know, here Paul is asking widows in the church to be recognized and to be serviceable in that season of life. I also think, you know, when you begin to deal with really elderly people in the church who feel the frailty of the body and the weakness, and they're not able to do the things that they've always been able to do. I remember a number of elderly saints saying to me, but I can still pray, you know, and as a pastor, you just encourage them in that, like, you know, just pray, put that in quotes, because prayer is never just, right? It is a profound blessing and ministry to be a person of prayer. And even our elderly people can give themselves to that.
Amen to that. I have a gentleman that I visit. His name's Carl. He's actually from Kansas, and he's in his 90s. And he tells me, and I believe him, he prays for me every day. And just to hear that, and often he'll say, I can't do a whole lot. I'm in pretty good health, but he's living in a place where he doesn't interact a whole lot with the residents. He doesn't quite know what to do. At times he feels like maybe he's not being very useful, but he sits there and he prays for a long time during each day. And I said, you just don't realize how valuable that is for the kingdom of God, because too few people pray. And we need those saints who really devote themselves to prayer. And even when your body is weak, you can still talk to God.
Yep. And I think, right, I mean, you know, I've tried to encourage some of our elderly to say, you know, eternity is going to show just how effectual your prayers were.
Yeah.
And I think if we could see that now, I think they would be more encouraged at times, but eternity will show the fruitfulness of that.
That's right.
Well, so I think that's important, right? There are unique opportunities, and there are, you know, for our aging saints, you know, just because you're an empty nester and you don't have kids involved in the activities of the church, and just because you are growing older, there is biblically, there is a very significant place in the church for you. So what about, you know, what do you think, what are some of the realistic expectations our aging saints can have for life? You know, I find as a pastor sometimes needing to give some advice to those who will be helping to care for their aging parents, you know, and just very practically, what are some of those expectations for that season of life you think people should be mindful of?
Well, right now in the news, the former senator and president of Florida University, Ben Sasse, has been interviewed. He's from the Midwest. He's not your state. It's Nebraska, right?
Yeah, he's Nebraska.
Yeah.
I wish he was from our state, but he's not.
Yeah. Well, he was told that because of pancreatic cancer, he only had probably 3 months to live. He's taking some medication that they're testing. It may extend his life some, but he knows he's at the end of his days. And one of the things he's saying is, I have more knowledge of when my days will end, but all of us know our days will end and we should be living that way. And I think it's hard for us to really practice that. Our congregation has been singing as a Psalm of the Quarter, Psalm 90, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And it's hard to think that way. And I don't know if I mentioned this on an earlier podcast, but I preached on that and I found this website that tells you how many days old you are. And then if, you know, you were going to live to be 70 or 80, as that Psalm talks about, how many more days you have left. And it just doesn't seem like that many. You know, I'm in the thousands, not the tens of thousands, but in the thousands.
Sorry, Barry. That's rough.
Yeah. So to think that way is important. And we have to realize that we're going to be in different phases of life. So we're not always going to be able to do in the future what we're able to do now. I had to face this last year, or I guess it's 2 years ago now. I finally realized I can't keep playing basketball. You know, as much as I love it, my knees just can't take it anymore. And so you have to give up things, and you realize, and it was hard because I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being with my sons playing. You know, it's just one of those things you enjoy and you can't do anymore. Well, that's small potatoes, you know, in terms of some of the decisions people have to make. Like, you may be in a house and you can't take care of that house anymore, or you can't navigate those stairs in the house anymore. And a lot of times the elderly not wanting to really get realistic about what lies ahead, they make it very difficult for their family. So I think having plans in place, like talking about it, interacting with your children before it's too late, is really important to do. So I think planning, young people are called to plan if they want to go to college, if they want to get a career, if they want to get married, if they want to get, you know, get a job, if they want to buy a house, all those kinds of things they have to plan for. And then it's almost like, okay, now that we've done all those things, then we don't have to keep planning. But that's not true. It's that we don't want to be those who are denying the reality that we're all going to face. I think of going to heaven like, you know, it's the greatest trip we're going to take. It's the greatest trip we're going to take. And if you've ever taken a big trip, whether it's with your family across the country or traveling to another country, whatever it may be, you have to spend a lot of time planning in order to take that trip. And to go to heaven, we should be planning to take that trip and interacting with our family about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's super helpful and very practical, right? You know, I've watched people have to walk through and navigate their parents, you know, and one thing that I appreciate is, of course, godly children are going to take that stewardship very seriously, because the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, carries on perpetually. And one of the greatest ways that you can help honor your father and your mother is to help them prepare to die well. And you know, and not only, and I yes, in the faith and yes, you know, running that race, but also just with the ordering of life and you know, mom and dad, what is good for you in this season? How can we help? And I think that open, I mean, just again, very practically, that open communication is so necessary, because as our lovely saints get older, you know, there comes the time when the keys do need to be taken away, and you know, and doctor's appointments need to be scheduled, and somebody needs to go with you, and you really need to think about downsizing and doing those things. And those are such hard conversations. But again, I think, you know, children are called to honor their parents, and hopefully their parents are acting in a way that makes it easy for those children to honor their parents and saying, we appreciate that, so let us allow you to do that, to walk us through that. I think too, just with expectations, you know, I don't even remember what I was going to say. So I think that's very helpful. I think, I would add to that, you know, I think, one thing that as a pastor, I try to encourage some of our aging members, it is okay to ask for help. You're in a season where you should actually be expecting that you're going to need help. And yes, you know, that can hurt the pride a little bit, just like you can't play basketball anymore, you know, and people have their difficulties, and the routine becomes more difficult. And this is why we have the church, and the church can't help if you're not letting us know I need help.
Right.
So that's important. Well, we're almost coming down to the time, but one more thing that I want to touch on is, and I don't mean to end this on a dour and sour note, maybe we can end on magnifying the grace of God in this, but you know, William Bridge makes the right observation that, you know, there's no season of life in which grace, goodness, and virtue can grow, but there's also no season of life where sin and temptation is not present. You know, what do you think are some of the common temptations and sins that our aging saints need to be alert to?
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned dying well, and the Puritans wrote a lot about this, about dying well, and we can think about that just at the moment of dying or the week of dying. And certainly we want to, in that suffering at the final minute, so we want to honor the Lord. But in order to get to that point and do that well, we're going to have to be thinking, as we've just talked about, thinking ahead more. And I think, as you said, being proud, not facing reality. Now, again, if an older person struck with Alzheimer's, that's a different scenario that we're talking about. But if we're talking about people that still possess faculties, they need to recognize these things and to be willing to allow a family or the church in to help them, as you just said earlier, Kyle. I think that's important. I think it can be easy as you get older to start. Miriam and I tease sometimes, and she'll call me grandpa. You can get grumpy.
Can we borrow that? Are we going to call you grandpa?
I think it's, I don't think it originated with me, but I heard Tim Hawkins use that term one time. So we sometimes joke about being grandpa or grumpma. We have to be careful of not complaining. You know, I don't want, every time someone comes around, I start talking about my physical ailments. It's one thing to share them and ask for prayer. It's another thing for them to be my only reason for having a conversation. So keeping a joyful spirit, when old, they'll still bear fruit and flourish fresh and green. Some of the most godly saints I know, elderly saints I know, were filled with joy and fresh measures of the Holy Spirit. I think of Ken Smith as just a great example of someone who grew old gracefully and joyfully. And, you know, the Lord used him in his older age to as the vehicle through which Rosaria came to faith. You know, so it's so important to realize we're still having a witness, we're still having a ministry in our old age, and God may, and there are accounts of this, where God may bless with even more fruit in our older years than maybe we had earlier. We've talked about John Tweed, the former pastor at Winchester, who went on during his retirement and had just such a fruitful ministry in the lives of so many people and congregations. And so I think we need to really guard against the grumpiness, the complaint, and really keep our eyes on the Lord and ask for his Spirit to keep manifesting his fruit within us.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I would never presume to speak for myself on where some older saints might struggle, but William Bridge gives this list of certain sins and temptations. He talks about that it's a season in life where men are apt to be remiss in the things of God. You know, statistically, I've sometimes taught this and preached it in our church. Statistically, the most common time that people stop attending church, maybe expectedly, is in their college years. They get out of high school and young people. But the second most common season when people stop going to church is when they become empty nesters. They no longer have children. It's no longer the family thing to do. And now we're going to stop attending church. And so, you know, William Bridge noted that way back then that can happen. Mm-hmm. He notes that old age can be accompanied by covetousness, that whereas a young man's sin is wantonness, an old man's vice is often covetous. He talks about fear and anxiety, especially just with the realities of life setting in, that fear and anxiety can be a very present temptation. Mm-hmm. He talks about, I mean, he didn't use the word grandpa, but being too touchy, peevish, angry, or froward in old age.
I like peevish.
Peevish is good. He says old age is a continued sickness. And in sickness, we are apt to be angry. And that's probably very real too. And then he talks about a lack of teachability, that it's easy for older saints. I've been there, done that. I know everything. You know, there's that wonderful section in Ecclesiastes that a poor, young, wise boy is better than an old, foolish king who can no longer take correction. And you know, that's something. But again, the Lord's grace is for every season of life, and we're thankful for that. So, well, that brings us to the end of today's episode. Barry, before I sign off, any closing comments, any closing words?
I think what you just said is great. So I'm going to just leave it at that, Kyle. You finished with a good word.
Wonderful. There we go. Well, we do want, if we have any aged listeners, we appreciate we know that your churches do, and the Lord Jesus Christ certainly has a purpose in this season of life. We want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. We always appreciate it. We also appreciate hearing from you. If you want to email us with any suggestions for topics, you can reach us at 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. Visit our website. Follow us on Apple Podcasts so you get updates every time we drop a new episode. But we thank you for tuning in this time and every other time. Thanks.